Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Can't help but rock your body.
Such a good tune.
It is. Happy Friday, Mark Harmon.
Back at you, AD. Good to be here.
You know, so many times I say Mark Harmon and people are like, oh, you know Mark Harmon?
That never
they
happens.
They confuse you with, I mean,
oh,
you're
the other guy. Yeah, okay.
Obviously younger and much better looking than that.
I trade my life for his in a nanosecond. Congratulations to Mark Harmon.
And he says the same thing about you. How funny is that?
I don't think that's true.
We are kicking off a huge weekend in Chicago. This is one of probably the craziest weekends of the year. St. Paddy's Day festivities, we have the City Parade on Saturday, we have the Southside Irish Parade on Sunday, and then they're dyeing the river green tomorrow at 10:30.
Are we walking the streets tomorrow, AD? Are we making moves?
I think so, yeah. You want to?
I'm in. I'm all in.
Wear our green beads or little... leprechaun hats.
Little corned beef, little cabbage,
yeah.
little Miller Lite on a Saturday, huh?
Little green beer.
I'm in, MC.
It's a
great, great day.
The great Mark Harmon. Steve Grzanich is in the newsroom this morning. Nice segue, right?
The great Mark Harmon.
I will not be working for the Beats this weekend.
Come on.
In my younger day, but not this weekend.
Come on, Steve.
Working for the Beats.
Weekend out. Working for the Beats. Susan Burke is in Traffic Central. Susan, we've enjoyed having you all week.
Oh, thank you so much. Good morning.
You're coming back next week, Susan?
Mary is returning from Florida.
Okay, but you're going to be working with Ro, I believe, right?
Next week? Yes.
Excellent.
This is true, yes.
So we'll see more Susan Burkus.
Are you wearing a Bobby Hull jersey, Susan?
No, it's Taves.
Oh, okay. I couldn't see the one. My bad.
Susan's a big sports fan. And Mike Jacobson, Mary Sandberg Boyle, Comcast SportsNet, producing our program today. We just call her MSBCC.
MSBCC.
No. Mary motivates me for life, just so you know.
Hello.
Yep.
Speaking of beads, let's get to the top six at six.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
The top six at six on 720 WGN.
Well, there's a lot going on. Mr. MC Lowe?
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Can you get some Dr. J in that drop? I love Dr. J, number six.
I love Fuzzy Bear. Fuzzy's the best.
Whoa.
I like Cookie Monster, too.
Are we doing the same show?
Come on, Chris Anders, do it.
My favorite.
Do it.
Cookie?
Yeah. I'm telling you, something about it makes me laugh every time.
That's awesome.
Federal investigators continue to examine. This Russia story, MC, will just not go away anytime soon. The feds now and computer scientists are looking into whether there was a computer server connection between the Trump Organization and a bank in Russia.
Got to be honest, Andre. Don't want the story to go away. Keep the story going. Love the story. Want every detail to come out.
Here's the worst part. Somebody brought up the allegation 4 months ago and they dismissed it.
Mm-hmm.
The story that's never going to die. Number two, right up your alley. Bears releasing Jay Cutler.
Thank God. That's a bigger story.
Is that your official response?
That's my statement on Instagram. It's 2009, man. I mean, do you know how long ago 2009 was? Where were you in 2009, Andre? You were right here, weren't you?
I was here, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't all Jay's fault, but it was certainly partly Jay's fault. Six offensive coordinators. But the old decision-making was never Jay's strong suit, right? 109 interceptions in 102 regular season games. You could count on Cuddy to throw at least one a day.
Cuddy. Who's our quarterback now?
His name is Mike Glennon, who... I'm kind of debating whether you'd rather have Mike Glennon or Mike Jacobson, outstanding producer of the Steve Cochran Show. To me, it's a hot debate. But we'll see. The Bears can get out from Glennon after one season. So they're going to pay him a lot of money this year to be the quarterback. And if he does well, then maybe he'll get a shot at year two. And if he doesn't, they'll have to figure it out again.
I'm going with Jake because he's cuter and smarter.
And if you guys get a chance to see the Tribune today, Scott Santis, his cartoon is hilarious. It's Jay Cutler cleaning out his locker. And the trash can behind him, and not one of the footballs is in the trash can.
No!
It says, you know he'll blame the trash can.
And pout while he's walking away doing it. Next. All right, number three, another Trump story for you. Trump has a friend, Roger Stone, apparently now complaining that Twitter is oppressing his right to free speech. They've banned him because of a misogynist meltdown last weekend. I'm not even going to read every single thing that he wrote, basically Breaking Bad on women. It's horrible. I'm not going to give him any publicity for that, but Twitter is saying, so long, baby.
Well, Roger needs to learn what free speech actually means. You can say whatever you want, and they can't put you in jail for it, but you also can be denied such things as Twitter, Roger.
Yeah, and there's rules, Roger, for Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and MySpace and Snapchat and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, Roger.
Anne Curry and Tamron Hall, both no longer on the Today Show, apparently throwing a I hate Matt and Meghan party, talking about Matt Lauer and Meghan Kelly. Apparently, Matt Lauer, who says that he didn't even know that Tamron was going to be axed, now this website, RadarOnline.com, is saying, yes, he did.
Who knows what behind the scenes?
Doesn't it sound so strange?
It sounds so familiar, actually.
Why can't everybody just get along? Why can't we get along? All right, how about a happy one to round up the top six at six for this Friday? Buckingham Fountain's turning 90 years old and having a birthday party. Whoop.
Okay.
Whoop.
Are you going?
Yeah, of course. Aren't you?
I mean, I didn't, to be honest, I hadn't put it on the calendar, but now that you're going, I got to be there. Grzanich?
I'm there.
Come on, Susan?
I'm there.
I'll go.
All right, we're in. When old Buck turns 90. What do you get for a 90th birthday? What, 10? Isn't there like the anniversary thing? Like, isn't the silver is 25?
I think a nap. You get a nap.
All right. I was going to say a bottle of Viagra, but it has no problem.
Maybe you take a nap next to the Buckingham on a day when it's just a little more peaceful, and you talk to Buckingham on what Buckingham has meant to you. You know, you drive by, yeah. You take it for granted, and this time you actually just sit there and you speak to what Buckingham Fountain has meant to you. What do you think?
You do that on one side. Susan, Steve, and I will be on the other side watching you.
Mark, did you get into Mary's booze this morning?
Buckingham, you've meant so much to me. You've been a rock in this city's architectural structure for so long, and you've been appreciated, but not appreciated to the fullest. I can relate.
Again, Susan, Steve, and I will be on one side of the fountain. Mark will be talking to himself on the other. Right? That's going to be on May 6th, so you can mark your calendar.
Like the Sears Tower that's now the Willis Tower. You don't change your name, Buckingham. You stay true.
You are losing it, man. But it's okay because it's you.
It's one of the great fountains of all time, Andrea.
That is our top six at six. We have Lou Manfredini coming up. We got Grater's Ice Cream opening up. Mary Sandberg and Kim Gordon, I think, are going to be there waiting in line for the first scoops of ice cream. Grater's finally coming to Chicago, and they'll be in studio today.
Mm. It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Our favorite segment of the week.
Really?
Lou's First Call. It's mine. It's
really?
Mary's. It's Mark's. It's
of
mine.
All the segments that you do, you know, how about the cooking segments? How about when they bring in the wine?
Oh, you're tied. You're tied. You know you're number one in our hearts.
God Lou, I'll tell you, there's Grater's ice cream in the green room right now with Chip Grater waiting to come on at 6:40. So that's going to be
that's
my favorite segment
right.
today.
Thanks.
But also because I have a beef with you right now. So.
Uh-oh. Wait, let's get this out in the open.
Wait, with
first.
Me or with Andrea?
With you, Lou.
Wait a minute. We haven't even spoken.
I know. That's the problem.
Oh. How can you have a beef with Lou?
You're doing like a whole what's the movie with Glenn Close? I will not be denied.
Everyone always compares me to that.
You know, she already won the award, Lou, for the best boiled bunny award, BOYLE.
I did. I got a crazy award. But here's the deal, Lou. I had an issue last week and I really wanted to run it past you, but you were on vacation.
Oh.
So well, I had a
you, let me tell you, you must be my best friend because no one else worries about that.
Oh. I had to call a repairman, and they fixed it, but I still think that you could have given me advice to let me do
it.
You
can always text me.
You want to tell what the issue was?
Yeah.
I have the Fisher Paykel, the two-drawer dishwashers, you know, and they were, when the bottom one would run, the top one would fill with some water.
Right.
And I did some troubleshooting online as what I'm...
Right, because everything on the internet is true.
Yeah, and they were like, oh, check the hoses. But I couldn't, I was nervous to mess with the hoses too much. And so it was so annoying. I had a great guy from Aft come out and fix it. But all he did was cut the end of the clogged hose, which seemed like something I could have done.
Right.
And I wanted to ask you if you thought I really could do it.
I have what? Sure you can. And you know that Fisher-Paykel that you talk about, it's a really cool system with the drawers and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the greatest repair history.
That's what I've been told.
Yeah, and so everybody thinks it's the coolest thing ever. But a lot of times, especially with appliances, the fix is that simple. I'll give you a personal aside. Years ago, we were getting ready to sell our home in Edgebrook, and we had a lovely home that I had remodeled, and the kitchen was relatively new. And all of a sudden, the day before the closing, the double oven stopped working. And I checked the breakers and everything. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Well, it was just, you know, so close. I called Apt. You know, I said, mm-hmm. I'm in trouble. The closing's tomorrow. Can you send someone out? And they did that day. And a double oven, you know, slides in. It's very heavy.
Right.
And the guy comes out and goes, hey, can you help me pull this thing? I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll help you. And he pulls it out, and he goes, click. And he resets a button.
Oh, no.
And he goes, that'll be $400.
Oh. There's
also, the ice maker also went out. Like, two things went out the day before the closing. And the guy goes, at least you'll know next time.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Steven, you've had a call.
Well, and that was before YouTube.
Yeah.
So there was no...
I did watch a video, but I didn't feel...
confident.
I wanted you to tell me you can do this or
right.
not do it. But I didn't want to bother you on your trip.
You're so nice.
I called Apt, and for $179,
yeah.
they did it.
I almost called Lou when I was trying to put the Barbie dream house together for my goddaughter. I'm not kidding you. That thing you needed to grief. Lou would have walked in and gone, boom, 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 boom.
No, I mean, I am pretty good at assembly, but that's a good thing to have with a glass of wine.
Yeah, and it was for sure. And they have a YouTube video
right.
on how to do it.
And
right.
if you would have seen on social media this after this Christmas, the amount of people complaining about not getting their Barbie dream home to work correctly
yeah.
with the internet portion of it.
Yeah.
Ours.
It was a big, there's a lot of backlash.
Ours works good. The garage opens fine and the pool snaps back up to the side of the house.
Right, might be time to refinance.
Just right, exactly. Call Hochberg, right? Lou is brought to us by American Weather Makers. Let's go to Lou's first call. Oh, we don't have Lou's first call yet. Oh, wait, we do have a whiny staff question. Keeping with the tradition of the show, Lou.
Sure.
Mark Carmen was very excited he was going to be joining you today.
Oh, nice.
And he has, of course, the first whiny staff question.
Lou, I love you. Good morning. Thank
Good morning,
you for being here for me. So I have a window, Lou, that I don't. It seems like there's a jamming situation. I can't quite understand what's going on here, and I know that's kind of a pathetic question, but I've been through the whole winter, and the window's been open, just a little, like about an inch little draft coming through, and now we have summer coming up, so
You can't lock the window?
I can't.
Is it a double hung, like goes up and down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it what?
I can get it to about an inch within closing, but that was it. And so I've just basically had the window open all winter, which, by the way, thank you for a very mild winter, so it hasn't killed me.
Right.
But I'd like to, next winter, I'd like to be able to get this thing closed. Any thoughts on this?
Sure. My guess is, is it a window that you can tilt in to clean?
Yep.
Okay. My guess is the balancers on either side, what happens is when you tilt it in, you know, you can pivot that window so that it actually comes out of that opening. And there are two balancers on either side, and they have these little holes. And on the bottom of that window, there are these two little tabs that have to fit inside the holes. I'm going to say that one of them's in the hole on the one side, and the other one is above the hole. And when you go to close it, it won't allow you to go all the way down. So you got to take the window out completely, and then those two little tabs that are in the window, you got to make sure you put one in up high, like on an angle. Then as you bring it down to level or plumb, you're going to make sure you line up the other tab into the balancer, and I bet it'll work. It'll take you 30 seconds to fix this window.
I'll be calling you.
It's Mark Carmen. I would give him probably 30 minutes. Manfredini could fix it in 30
I
seconds.
I have much Boom. Faith in Mark Carmen.
Thank you, Lou.
Lou helped me fix my bathroom door with a little lipstick and a little WD-40.
Sure.
Worked out fine.
That's
Thank
amazing.
You, by the way. That
You're
did
welcome.
Work, Lou. All right, let's go to Lou's first call. Paul is on the line. Hi, Paul.
Good morning, WGN listeners and radio hosts. How you doing there?
We're doing great. What's your question for Lou?
I have a pole barn, and the roof is insulated. It's about 17 feet tall. The bottom of the roof, the trusses at 12 feet, and I want to lower it down to like 9 feet. What do I need to do between the second layer of insulation?
So you want to put in a new ceiling?
Yes, lower it down.
Okay. And what's the span? How far are you going from wall to wall?
It's 30 feet.
Wow. Okay. What are you going to do? Use some, like, TJI trusses or something like that?
Well, they're up there now. There's a 4-foot span between each truss.
Okay.
So what I want to do is just drop it down to the bottom of the truss, which is, like I said, 12 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Or I might put a suspended ceiling, maybe another 2 foot down,
okay.
And just make like a room off part of the pole barn.
Okay. Well, if you're going to insulate, if you want to do, you can insulate the underside of that new ceiling with, you know, something with a vapor barrier. But then that attic space above that'll now exist just needs to be vented. It's okay that you have insulation on the backside of the ceiling, but you need to make sure that you have adequate venting in that attic space to allow some airflow up there, whether that's gable vents on either end of the pole barn itself. Probably it's going to be such a big space up there that it wouldn't be a bad idea to do some kind of exhaust fan that's on a humidistat and a thermostat, maybe on the gable end. Just to pull any warm air out in the summertime, which would be helpful.
Okay, because I do have a continuous ridge vent all the way, but you think I'll need more?
Big space.
Okay.
That's going to be a big space. And so there's no such thing as too much venting when it comes to an attic. No such thing.
There you go, Paul. Does that help you out?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Have him hang on because...
Or you can move.
Don't have him move.
No.
Have him hang on because you have something for him.
Yes, we do. Paul, hang on the line. You get one April Air event-based thermostat. It's the April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. It's really cool. You're going to love it. Brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC.
Lou, a couple texts real quick here. 708 says, you've addressed this before, but what do you recommend to get rid of ants?
There's a product called Terro, T-E-R-R-O, Ant Bait Stations, as well as Bonide Revenge. Those two really good products to get rid of ants. You want to treat it on the inside, and right now, since it's so damp and a little bit warmer, you can go ahead and start putting some treatment down around the perimeter of your home. They make a powder, like a shake, that's really good to put around the perimeter of the home.
My ants won't leave either. Fran, Mary.
Oh, nice.
Liz.
Now
no,
you're
I
in
love
trouble.
My ants.
Uh-huh, yeah. Why do you say this stuff about me?
Why'd you say this? We love you.
Moving along, 815 texting it. I have baseboard heaters in my basement. They have stopped working. I changed the thermostat. All is clear around the baseboards. What can I do?
See if on the end of those baseboard heaters, if they're hot water heaters, hot water baseboards, there should be a bleeder on the ends of it. You need a little key. Thermostat up at 80 degrees, get it pumping along, and then open the key to bleed those radiators and get the airlock that's out of them, and you should get flow again.
Awesome.
All right, Lou, thanks. Have a great weekend.
Love you.
We love you. You're going to be participating in the St. Patrick's Day festivities this weekend?
No, I'm Italian.
Be Italian.
Right. I'm wearing green today, though. No, I'm just going to be... my son Max has he goes to Notre Dame College Prep, and he's in a production of A Few Good Men.
Oh.
Wow!
Is the debut this evening, so he's got performances all weekend.
What's his role?
Can't handle
he's
the truth.
He's the dead guy.
He's the dead guy.
He's the dead guy.
Yeah, that's what he said. I go, what role did you get? I'm the dead guy, Santiago.
He's but Santiago.
Evidently, there are flashbacks, so we're going to find out.
It's the key role.
Yeah,
so
I guess so.
The whole movie's based on it.
That's what I said.
He's got a fall going down the hill.
By the way, congratulations, Lou. It was a great slaughtering of Illinois yesterday by Michigan.
Oh. And they were in their practice jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
flew
in on the Pistons team plane.
Bye, John.
Is that how they got in?
That's how they got in.
Wow.
Yeah.
The type of thing you get when you play for Michigan.
One win for Michigan is one career loss for John Gross.
Oh, right.
All right, Lou. Have a great weekend. Lou, sponsored by American Weathermakers, and the big story coming up next.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Ice cream, vanilla ice cream, strawberry ice cream, chocolate.
Love it. Who doesn't like ice cream? We are so happy to have in our studio Tim Philpott and Chip Grader from Grader's Ice Cream. You're opening your new location in Winnetka today. Mary Sandberg is over the moon excited. Kim Gordon, our midday anchor spent a lot of time in Cincinnati. These two have been like over the moon, so excited about the new opening. So welcome. Well, I know you've been here, but congratulations on the new store.
Thank you very much. We're excited to be here, and it's just fantastic to be able to open up to, well, actually, a couple days ago, we have our grand opening today at 11, so we're super excited. It's been a long time coming, but we're ready to scoop some ice cream.
I think we literally waited a year.
Yeah.
A year for it to come, so.
That's very cool, and it doesn't matter that it's 32 degrees. Get ice cream.
Everybody
loves
it. No, we've had a great crowd the last couple nights, so it's been a lot of fun. Yeah.
All right, so Grater's Ice Cream. Tell us, for those who don't know, your legacy. Fill us in.
Oh, gosh. Well, just as you said, I'm Chip Grater, part of the fourth generation of Grater's to kind of run the family business. I've got a brother and a cousin that do their fair share to keep the family tradition going. Started with my great-grandfather in 1870, and we're just a small family ice cream business in Cincinnati that's been fortunate enough to do the right things, hire the right folks to keep the business going, and we've got a great team that has enabled us to continue on this legacy. We make it 2.5 gallons at a time in what we call a French pot, and it's all hand-packed, and so we use the best ingredients, and it creates a really unique ice cream product.
Is that the key? Real ingredients, real milk,
yes.
Real not.
Well,
you know.
and really, I mean, that goes without questions. We buy the best ingredients, period, but it's really the process and the way we make it. And it's artisanal, all handmade, so that's what really sets it apart.
I mean, you guys are heroes, let's be honest. It's you're doing God's work, but
yeah.
But I don't know if I've ever actually seen somebody this excited as Mary Sandberg is right now. So I just want to, I mean, she's taken like 100 pictures of ice cream cups. She's looking at you like you're
Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
Like he's Willy Wonka.
I
mean,
I thought Grzanich would be more excited, but you've got him beat.
Because he had news to work on, but he's just as excited, I think.
He'll be down here in about 30 seconds.
I mean, the question is, seriously, have you ever seen anybody as excited as Mary right now?
Well, she's very sweet, but
I attacked them when they came in the door because I wanted them to know I used to order the black cherry chocolate chip to be delivered here because I couldn't get it here.
That's what Kim would do. She would do the same thing. Our friend Kim, she and her husband moved here, and they would order.
Yeah,
what you said, you by crates, right? Like on dry ice, you can send them.
Yeah,
the same thing?
I ordered like 6 pints at a time, I think, and
yep.
And it was, and then
a lot
you have
of people
to like
do that.
Savor
a lot of people
it. Yeah,
do
so.
That.
But now I've got it right. Yeah. I can go there every day.
She's rationing it. Her children are going, oh, can we have... No.
What's the address of the Winnetka one?
940 Green Bay Road. It's a great place for families
Green
to
Bay
go.
Green Bay and Gage Street, yeah.
What do you sell the most flavor of? What's kind of the signature flavor?
Yeah, well, we brought some today. It's our black raspberry chocolate chip, and by far that's our
so
most
good.
Popular flavor. So
it's beautiful, too.
A little
it's
cold,
a beautiful
but we're trying
ice cream.
To get it
it's
at the eating temperature.
It is a beautiful color. Yeah, it's just is the whole family in on the business, too? I know you said you're fourth generation.
Yeah, I mean, my aunt and my dad
cream,
still are alive and work. My aunt still works every day. My dad just kind of retired. He's 87. He just retired last summer. It's definitely a family business, and it's a lot of fun.
I had a friend who worked at an ice cream shop that I won't name on the south side, but she said there was a method to scooping. You can't just chip away at it. You have to kind of go around the edges. Is that true?
Well, yeah,
he's
I mean,
laughing
definitely,
I'm right, right?
You definitely. I've been in retail all my life, and so I've been in the store scooped a lot of ice cream. So yeah, you definitely have to get your scooping technique down for sure.
Most people, they try to avoid their family during the day. You're working with your family. There's got to be some challenges that come along with that. But you guys somehow just get along? That's amazing.
Well, I mean, I could. How long do we have here today? So, no, seriously, we all have our own kind of niche in the business. So yeah. I'm in retail. My brother's in flavor development. My cousin actually is our CEO. He's the really smart one. I think I'm the fun one.
We think
and the good-looking
so.
One.
I don't know about it. He says I'm the good-looking one, but but I don't think that at all. But you know, we definitely, you know, being fourth generation coming into the business, we definitely had our challenges, and so we seriously hired great people to help us to get to where we are today. So
we have cool. Tim Philpott and Chip Grater in studio from Grater's Ice Cream. Can you guys hang for a little bit?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you and the ice cream, of course, too. We're happy you're here, but let's get a check of traffic. Susan, you got to come down here and get some ice cream later.
No, sounds like a plan. Thank you.
Ice cream, vanilla.
Chip Grater and Tim Philpott from Grater's Ice Cream. Grand opening, the ribbon cutting, is in Winnetka today. We're so happy to have you guys with us in studio.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for having us.
All right, and Mike Jacobson, our producer, had a really good question about developing flavors, how you come up with new flavors. Mikey, what were you asking those guys?
Yeah, I'm just curious in terms of, you said that your brother was in flavor development. So what does that entail? Is he actually coming up with the chemistry aspect of that? Is he coming up with the formulas that you need to make your blackberry, raspberry, or whatever flavor you got going on?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think he just hides himself in his room all day and looks at computer, and I don't know what he does, really, but he definitely is magic. And
is he a chemist?
Well, he's not a chemist. He was a biologist major in college, but he's really good at, he knows how to make the ice cream. I don't know how to make the ice cream. I can dip a great cone for you, but he's the one that really knows. He works with just take, for example, our black raspberry chocolate chip ice cream. Well, that base is black raspberries, and so he worked with the farmers and so forth to make sure that we have enough fruit to provide for a whole year of that ice cream. So he's always working and trying to find the newest and greatest flavor trends to create a new flavor.
Is there one flavor that just did not work that you guys tried to develop and said right away, as soon as you tried it, you said, you know what, that was a mistake?
Kale.
Well,
the kale-flavored ice cream.
Yeah. He's come up with some definitely many flavors that I'm like, ah, I don't know. But there was one in particular that he continues to try and develop. It's called, it's a Mexican chocolate. And it's just not one that there's people that like it, but it's not one that I prefer, really. And he's had three renditions. So
yeah, we tried it again last summer.
We did. And it was better, but it's still a little iffy
still
on my...
Still working on that.
Yeah.
Still in development.
Yeah, in development. Flavor development, right? Yeah.
I'm eating the black raspberry chocolate chip, and it is delicious.
Thank you.
Oh, no, this is awesome.
We got to get back to the Mexican chocolate. I'm just curious, what is in that?
Well, it was a kind of a dark chocolate ice cream with... and he had, some Mexican spices and a little cinnamon, and it had some a little bit of heat at the end. So you taste it, it was pretty chocolatey, and then at the end it was you'd get a little heat from it. It was actually last summer was the third time, and it was actually pretty darn good.
It's like gastronomy with the different flavors. Like you get the spicy
absolutely.
And the cool taste going at the same time.
And with a lot of our flavors, there's always, I mean, all ice cream is good. So there's always a group of people that we love that, even though that it may not have been widely successful, and a lot of people did like that Mexican chocolate, but maybe not enough.
I'm tasting the mint chocolate chip. It's such a smooth, creamy taste to it. It literally is like you took a thin mint, like a Girl Scout cookie. I mean, the mint flavor just pops so much, more so than any other ice cream.
It's not only the flavor, but it's a chip said how...
Come on, it does.
How the family makes the ice cream creates that mouthfeel. That 2.5 gallons at a time, what that does is it allows you to not put much air in the ice cream. So it's a very dense, heavy ice cream, so that you can taste that.
I just love the way Andre just described it—the creaminess
it
in the
kid. It is. In it's like a gelato.
I had at a local ice cream store the Mexican. It was like a cayenne hot.
Yep.
It was delicious. So I think you guys should stick with this. You're graders. You can make it better, greater than anybody else. So I just don't shy away. That is a winner.
All right, I'll let Bob know that.
Yep.
And you talked real quick too. You talked about the French pot process.
Yep.
Explain that. There's a cool little video on your website where it shows what you guys are
doing. Sure. It's we take two gallons of our base, of our liquid ice cream, pour it into a stainless steel pot, and that spins around in a kind of a saltwater bath that's about negative 15 degrees, and that slowly that ice cream inside that bath hardens up to kind of like cake batter consistency. And if it's a chip flavor, we'll pour in dark chocolate if it's a chip, and that'll kind of coat the sides of that pot. And then we'll take a paddle with a guy, and he'll paddle that ice cream and break those chips up. And then we'll...
It's like fudge.
It is. It's very, very much like that.
Fudge.
So.
And who named the chip Wheelies? Did you?
Well, I don't know.
It's everything's chip your real
named
name, right?
Yeah, well, sort of. I'm a chip off the old block. Blockhead.
That's actually, I want to know if there's like an integrity ice cream thing going on, because like people who, you know, like alcoholics, I don't mean it like that, I mean people who enjoy drinking, they would never put, say, soda in their vodka or something in their whiskey. I mean, when somebody orders like a hot fudge sundae, is that like almost ruining the ice cream? Just have the ice cream pure.
You know, it's funny because if you ask the greater family, and I would ask one after the other, hey, what's your favorite flavor? You know, and almost to a person, vanilla. Because they're purists.
Because
they're purists. They love the ice cream.
No sprinkles, no nuts.
Well, I mean, I like all that. I mean, I like all that stuff. But if I'm just going to have a dish or cone, I like a little scoop of vanilla and a little scoop of chocolate. That's like my favorite go-to. But, I mean, I love some of our seasonal flavors. They're amazing. Peppermint stick at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
We have incredible peach pumpkin. Ice cream in the summertime. So
mint cookies and cream. Is
Yeah, right now. I just had a cone the other day. It was awesome. Oh. It was really good.
It's awesome. And there's giant bite size of cookies, too. Yeah. You don't skimp. You don't get like little crumbs of cookies. You get the chunk.
I like the concept too. You said your dad was 87,
mm-hmm.
so he's been around ice cream his whole life, and he's 87 years old. That is, I hope he lives to be 187. But that's a good, solid life right there, and been around the product. So you can, there's a nice balance there. You can enjoy your ice cream and live long.
Well, absolutely. And you know, I've got older kids, and they're coming up in the business, starting to kind of work a little bit. So it's been great to have that person to kind of look up to, and you know your grandfather's working right beside you.
Can
That's
you give
great.
Mary something to do on a weekend?
Absolutely.
Maybe she can come in and
Absolutely.
Sample the new flavors.
She's a great
scoop
up
in Winnetka. She can scoop. We always
awesome.
Need folks
you can
in
teach
the
her the right way. Hey, give the address one more time for folks out there.
It's 940 Green Bay Road, which is right at the corner of Green Bay and Gage, right in Winnetka there. So. Around the corner.
Ribbon cutting is tonight. Thank you guys for being here, Chip and Tim. And best of luck on the new location. It's Grater's Ice Cream.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, you guys. We're back after this on WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Rebound picked up by Charlie Hall. That's going to do it. This ball game is over. And the Wildcats will play tomorrow night against the Maryland Terrapins. Their school record 22nd win of the year. And the Cats play on in the 2017 Big Ten Tournament here in Washington. A resounding victory tonight over the Rutgers Scarlet Knights by a final score of 83-61.
Go Cats.
The two most excited women in Chicago, Sandberg over the ice cream, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus when her son got a rebound last night.
She went nuts.
The AD, Jim Phillips, joins us now as the Cats advance in the Big Ten Tournament. Congratulations. Boss, how are you?
I'm good, Steve. How are you this morning?
Doing just fine. Nice win. Resounding thumping of a pretty good Rutgers team. And for those people who think I'm nuts, they've won a bunch in a row going into last night.
Yeah, and you know what? We had played them twice earlier in the year. They led both times in the second half, most recently a couple weeks ago at Welsh Ryan. And we were really fortunate to come back and win that game. That was the focus all week. You know, we didn't know if we were going to play Ohio State or Rutgers, but regardless, we needed to come out and really kind of exert our will on them. And that's exactly what you saw. I didn't realize it until after the game, but I guess you know, the 31-0 stretch that we had is the largest and longest run in the history of Big Ten basketball.
Wow.
And that gave us separation, and you know, that kind of was the final score was around 20. So really proud of the guys, Steve. 22 wins in this historic season, and what's beautiful about it is there's still a long runway ahead of us, so a lot of fun to be had too.
And I think there's three levels of tension when you're watching the Northwestern Wildcats. there's the AD Jim Phillips. Then there's the dad, Coach Collins' dad, Doug Collins. And then there's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus went bat-ass crazy last night when her son got a rebound. That was pretty cool.
That is cool. And you know what? He got a second rebound. So they showed the first rebound, but at the end of the game, he got one more rebound on the defensive end. So he got one offensive rebound, one defensive rebound. But you know what? I think you see who she is clearly.
She's a mom.
Northwestern Bassett. She's a mom. She is a Academy Award winning actress and somebody that is so well respected and you know in her profession. But at the heart of it is she is this beautiful mom that cheers like all of us parents for our kids. It just so happens that millions of people get to see her, you know, on ESPN watching Charlie play.
It's funny when you think about it, because really it is all of you are parents, and you're literally a parent, but your child in this scenario would be the basketball team. It's Doug with Chris. It's Julia Louis-Dreyfus with her son Charlie, and it's you with the team.
And it's us with Enid.
And it's us with Enid, the other child.
Yeah, it is us with Enid as well, because he is a handful on the road. You know,
oh.
I don't know what... you know, we had bed check last night at 1:30 because the game was a late game and it's nowhere to be found. We've had morning breakfast and it still hasn't shown up. So I don't know. He's somewhere in the D.C. greater area.
Let's hope he drags himself in by game time tonight.
Walking around D.C. with a bottle of Purple Passion.
So sad with all that he's accomplished. Well, congratulations, Coach. Tell everybody what's coming up on Sunday.
Well, I wanted to announce it with our, you know, partners with WGN, who we love, and we love you guys. And so I want to let everybody know that.
Love you back, Sunday, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. On Sunday, we are going to have an NCAA selection show watch party at Welsh Ryan Arena.
Yeah.
Which is Sunday, March 12th. Doors are going to open at 1:30, Steve. Concessions and merchandise available. At 2 o'clock, we'll have the Big Ten Championship game. So I'm hopeful that the coaches and the student athletes and myself are not at Welsh Ryan on Sunday, because that means we're playing in the championship here in D.C. But if we were to get beat before then, we will all be there with the band and cheerleaders. At 3 o'clock, a couple of your buddies, Mark Carman and Adam Hogue, are going to broadcast live. And we hope there's a reappearance of Dave Ennett because he'll be there as well. But, you know, that remains to be seen.
Right.
And then at 4:30, we'll watch the show together. And we'll do it on these, you know, new $3 million video boards we put in 2 years ago that are going to be transported to my house after the show because we're renovating Welsh Ryan. So it should be just a great opportunity to get our Northwestern family together and to celebrate. You know, it just can't be stated, I think, clear enough. When you're trying to do something that's never been done in 80 years, ever, the magnitude of that is just so cool and so special. And so we want to get everybody out there. And I think it would be a great way to celebrate. It is going to be a great way to celebrate this historic season by these terrific student athletes.
Again, parking and admission is free. Seating's general admission. And at 2 o'clock, the Big Ten Championship game on the video boards before they're moved to Jim Phillips' house as his new big screen TVs. Mrs. Phillips doesn't know yet.
Right.
And at 4:30, the selection show, and everybody goes B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Carms?
Dr. Jim, you're on the NCAA selection committee now. I'm looking at the bracketology here. 7-10 seeds are playing in Indy. Indy's a great town. I know that you got to do right by the committee, but I think the Cats can be a 7 seed, certainly if they win tonight. And Indianapolis is a great city. What do you think?
Listen, we'll go anywhere at any time. And as far as the committee goes, I don't start until September 1.
Oh.
But you know how all these so I will have no influence on this year's selection. But you know how you sit around on Selection Sunday and you say, man, those folks are dumb. I can't believe this team's a 3
seed. Right.
Well, now you know one of those dumb people, and that's me. So moving forward, you're going to have, you're going to know exactly who the inept person was that put the bracket together.
Well, this is going to be nothing but cool.
So a school that might not have any shot, Jim, like Illinois, you know, we couldn't do a little greasing of the palms talking to you.
No,
we have Graders ice cream in studio, Jim.
Not this year. But the Graders, I am missing that. I wish I was in studio with you guys so I could have some Graders this morning. But, no, there will be no greasing of any palms for anyone this year or, I guess, into the future.
I don't think there'll be enough grease for that anyway.
Yeah, probably a good idea. Well, it's going to be a great Sunday, but it all starts with tonight. What time's our pregame, Carms?
Well, that's a good question, Steve. Tip-off is going to be right around 8 o'clock, but we have the Blackhawks, so there's, as far as I understand, we're still working on that actual pregame start time.
All right, so we'll figure out the pregame and go from there as the Northwestern Wildcats continue in the Big Ten tournament after a resounding 83-61 thumping of Rutgers last night and a 31-0 stretch, a Big Ten record. Yes, sir.
Can you, Dr. Jim, will you tell Nate Taphorn, as great as the pass was in the Michigan game, when he's got an open three with 5 seconds to go and Julia Louis-Dreyfus' kid is on the court, you don't shoot that three. You give it to the young man. What type of selfish maneuver is this by the senior?
Yeah, well, he got called out by his teammates in the locker room for that one. I bet he did.
He did.
But we had fun with it. And I just think we're playing good basketball. at the right time of the year. Even when we went to Indiana and lost a tough game, we came home, had that thrilling victory against Michigan, took Purdue all the way down to the end. And so I think you're seeing a healthy team come together. And this team, guys, they love playing together, and you can see it on the court. And we'll have a big challenge tonight with Maryland, and we'll see what happens. But it's been a fun ride, and certainly excited about the opportunity that tonight presents.
Well, thanks for the partnership. We love you guys, and thrilled to continue. And, of course, in the meantime, if you find Ennett, let us know.
You got it. And just share the story of Wally Pipp, because that's Mark Harmon and Dave Ennett. That story is recreating itself.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, it's all over the internet.
Where there once was Wally, now there's Gehrig. All right. Thanks, bud.
Absolutely.
We're going to hide the puck in the Grater's ice cream, but we figured Sandberg will find it. Remember, we'll give you a Hawker riddle here, written by John DeCoste, the musical director of the program, and a riddle provocateur. Did you know that? He's an RP.
An RP? Provocateur?
He's officially earned that title, a riddle provocateur.
Do you mean a riddle connoisseur or
no.
a provocateur?
No, provocateur.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know what either one means.
They both sound...
He's a riddle concierge. He's a riddle maitre d'.
I'm the riddler.
All right, so there's not a lot of money in the riddle game anymore, but you have done it well. You will read a riddle, and then the first correct answer to the riddle as to where we hid the puck will win tickets to the Blackhawks, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Are you ready, riddle man?
Yes.
Riddler.
Wow. This is interesting.
Why are you acting like it's the first time you've seen it?
Well, it's the rhythm is off. I'm laughing at this. The rhythm is off.
Well, you wrote
this
it, didn't you?
I know. This is not what I sent.
I thought the rhythm was going to get you.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
My liquor license reads number one. The first ever to receive one. My beer and schnitzel are what I do best. Oh, dear. I shine in October with the rest of the fest.
You think you know it?
I totally know it.
Really?
And I don't have the answer in front of me either.
Do you know? Because normally when you say you know it, you don't really know it. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Did I spell it right?
Did it being on two pages throw you off, John? You seem very flustered.
He's a provocateur.
I think there's a word missing.
Can I try it?
Huh?
Want me to try it?
Yeah.
Okay. My liquor license reads number one, the first one to receive one. My beer and my schnitzel are what I do best. I shine in October with the rest of the fest.
It's
not that hard, man.
This is a good one.
It's not that hard.
The word prohibition is missing.
Prohibition? Where? First correct
what
caller.
What does it rhyme with?
312-981-7200. First correct caller.
Exhibition.
Is a winner. Hey, since we're doing Hawks tickets, why don't we play the Hawks Express? Remember to... Hawks last night, tough game, man. They had 814 shots on goal.
They did.
But that damn Ducks goalie, he was unbelievable.
Who's that guy? What's that guy's name?
Bernier.
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 Bernier sauce all over the black.
Bernier was fantastic. Here's a very brief Hawks Express.
Ducks hang on and win this one 1-0.
That seems right. Sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Let me know when we have a winner. Camille, Kamazel, Hassenpfeffer Incorporated. Which line are we talking about? Line 5.
Restaurant.
Camille.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm thrilled. I love you.
I love your show. Oh, I love you. Now tell me, based on that Hawker riddle, where did we hide the puck?
At the Berghoff restaurant.
Right in the schnitzel.
That's right.
Right in the schnitzel. Someone
awesome.
Look in the schnitzel. congratulations. Who are you going to bring to the game?
Thank you so much. I'm going to bring my neighbor and my friend.
Oh, very nice.
He's a hockey coach for the young ones.
Oh, that's very
nice.
He's
an adult hockey player out here in Streamwood, Illinois.
All right, tell him not to wear all of his gear.
All right.
The fans should not wear skates. But we have a pair of tickets for you against Minnesota this Sunday,
wow.
March 12th, That's a big one. And you're entered to win four season tickets next year from Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Awesome. Four Seasons. Thank you, Camille.
Thank you.
729. And thank you, Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. You still struggling with your riddle?
No, I'm just having the raspberry chocolate ice cream.
Yeah.
For breakfast.
From Graders.
And it's really good. I'm going to have this for breakfast every day.
Let me tell you what a freak show Sandberg is. Todd Manley, the boss here, right?
Yes.
Todd Manley comes in.
That we ran into.
And I thought they were talking about something related to the show. She's giving like the architectural specs of the new Graders store.
She is.
It's a hardwood floor. She's talking about square footage, air conditioning. It's unbelievable.
I think she was scouting out that location before they even considered it.
And then she
it.
Brought up the dishwasher, which was really weird.
Yeah. She knows what kind of appliances weird. Are going in there.
Got it from Apt. And,
you know, I don't know if you know this. Every time I headline and do comedy in Cincinnati at the Funny Bone,
you have Graders.
I go to Graders.
Yeah.
Every time I headline there and do the Funny Bone.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If we brought pizza in to follow up the ice cream, she'd pass out.
Oh, she'd quit. That would be her day.
Completely pass out. 7:30, back after this. You know what it is? It's show business, people. They're all different. It's 7:30. We're back with a big story next at 7:20 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 7:20 WGN.
And good morning to my brother-in-law, Ian, 100% Irishman. We have authentic Irishmen in the studio, but before we get to that, you're doing a parade this weekend, aren't you?
Yeah, we are going to be covering the city's parade is on Saturday. They dye the river green at 10:30, and then the Southside Irish Parade at noon kicks off at 103rd and Western.
You like the weekend stuff?
I do. I love St. Patrick's Day festivities.
Well, I like the festivities, but I like it when they did on the week, you know, whatever day the 17th fell.
Yeah, the actual day.
If you remember a decade called the 90s
mm-hmm.
in Chicago, and the movie The Fugitive, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Up until about, 97, 8, 9?
Yeah, probably
there?
Late 90s is when they moved it to
They moved
Columbus.
It to the weekend.
Yeah. And it used to go down Dearborn. It got too big.
Was it Dearborn? I thought it was Wacker and State.
It was that for a while, and then it was Dearborn. It went down for a while, too. That was the year that they filmed The Fugitive, and now they have it on Columbus.
So all the parades are going off this weekend except?
Monday is the Northside Irish Parade.
And because everyone from Ireland is our friend, we'd like to welcome into studio our new best friends, Councillor Seamus McGrath, Mayor of County of Cork, and Niall Healy, Cork County Director of Corporate Services. Gentlemen, welcome to Chicago.
Thank you very much, Steve. We're delighted to be here. Thank
nice
you
to see you.
Us.
Do you know my brother, Ian? Brother-in-law, I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he's Irish. You guys must know him. You must have seen him at the meeting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Everyone in Ireland knows everybody.
That's
so.
What I thought. That's what I thought. Pull that microphone now right in front of you, if you would. It's turned on for you. There you go. All right. So explain your purpose in town, aside from the festivities.
Yeah, sure. I suppose, obviously, we're here for St. Patrick's Festival.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just a day anymore. It's certainly a week or more of events and celebration, I suppose, of everything that is Irish.
Mm-hmm.
But we in Cork County, we're representing Cork County Council, which is the local authority, the local government in Cork. We have a long-standing relationship with Cook County. It goes back to 1998, so we're coming up to the 20th anniversary of what we would consider a very important relationship.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, no, we're delighted.
How's your budget?
And each year, the mayor leads a delegation here for St. Patrick's Festival in Swan. So it's a relationship which we see as one that can grow and build into the future.
That's great.
It's almost 20 years old, but it's one that we believe is entering an exciting phase.
Will you spend some time with Mayor Emanuel?
I think so, yes. Yeah. On Saturday, I think we're due to meet with the mayor, and I'm looking forward to that. It's a great privilege for me to have that honor. You mentioned our budget. Our budget is reasonably okay.
We'll talk to the people in Cook County, see if they can straighten out theirs.
Yeah, that's fair enough. We're at a slightly different scale to Cook County, obviously.
It's a very large county, a lot of issues.
In terms of size, population, and budget, and so on. But there are great similarities in terms of cultural links, business links, community events.
Want the same thing. Whether you're in County Cork or whether you're here, you just want to have a life. You want to have a good life. You want to be able to maximize your work, your fun, all of that, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's my first time to Chicago.
Oh, come on.
I have to be honest. I've been to the States a good number of times, but not to Chicago or Illinois, so I'm delighted to be
glad
here.
Glad you straightened yourself out.
Yeah, yeah. No, I got it right eventually.
Yeah.
So it's a great city, and so far my experience has been tremendous, and we've had a fantastic welcome. But I do fully understand the extent to which the Irish community is embedded in life here in Chicago.
It's
such a long association from the Irish immigrants going back to the last century and so on. They've had a huge contribution, and that vibrancy is still there today, so that's great.
In the 1800s, I think Chicago was number four, and I think now we're either number one or we had been one. We might be number two now for the most Irish. So Chicago has a very rich heritage. It's okay that we all claim to be Irish on the St. Patrick's Day weekend festivities. Is that
okay? That's a great point. Let me ask both of you. Yeah. Do you guys enjoy the fact that we've turned this into our giant holiday, or do you find it kind of silly?
No, we very much enjoy that. St. Patrick's Day, St. Patrick's Week is a fantastic event for us. It's
really has turned into a week.
We get to go to the White House. Our Prime Minister, our Taoiseach, gets to visit the President each year, which is a fantastic opportunity for us as a country. We're a relatively small country, as you know, in comparison to the United States. But St. Patrick's Day provides us with a great opportunity, and we very much embrace that. And we like to the opportunities that it presents. So even here in Chicago, the doors that have been open to us so far have been fantastic.
Now, Niall, as Director of Corporate Services, you're in charge of getting more business?
Yes, Steve, that's part of our remit, building the economic links between Cork County and Cook County.
Okay.
And again, there's quite a lot of similarities, actually, in terms of the world of business, in terms of enterprise, in terms of pharma, tech, agri-tech, and so forth. So, yes, that's important to us, and the Cook County Partnership, which is co-chaired by Bill Gaynor, has been doing excellent work in terms of bringing us into contact with connections here in Chicago, and vice versa. We're doing our part on the ground in Cork to
But you'd be open to more business from Chicago coming to Ireland?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Anything that brings the two cities closer.
Sure. What do you guys think of Trump?
Well, you know what? It's early days, and
let's see how diplomatic you can get here.
We'll have to wait and see. I certainly wouldn't agree with some of his policies. I'd be perfectly straight. Some of his campaign pledges and so on, I wouldn't like to see fully implemented.
What's the local equivalent of holy crap with a nice Irish accent?
It's too early in the morning, I think.
Stand by a second. We'll come back and talk more with our friends from County Cork. You know, may the road rise to meet you.
And the wind be at your back.
Yeah, that too.
I can't do the road.
Susan's, obviously neither can I. Here's Susan for Mary with your traffic. And what do we got coming up as well? Oh, Dean, after 8 o'clock, of course, on 720 WGN. Councillor Seamus McGrath, Mayor of County of Cork, and Niall Healy, Cork County Director of Corporate Services. Are those titles accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. Seamus McGrath, County Mayor, Niall Healy, Director of Service for Corporate Affairs. So, yeah.
Totally. So what's your day? What do you do when you're back home? What do you do in light of that job?
Yeah, I suppose the mayor is largely a ceremonial role. You're representing the council. You're the political figurehead of the council. So you're attending a lot of events, a lot of community events, functions, a lot of public speaking, representing the council in various forums and so on. So you chair the meeting, which is an important part of the job. You're actually chairing the council sessions. There are 55 elected members in Cork County Council. So that's an important part of the job, and one that I enjoy because, you know, it's the cut and trust of politics, I suppose. It's cut and trust of local government.
So you get a little bit of both worlds.
You do. And it's a great role. It's a great honour. You have the position for 12 months. I was put into this position, we'll say, on the 24th of June. I think it was the day that the UK counted the referendum on Brexit. So financial markets tumbled, and I joked that I'm only day in the office and markets are tumbling already.
Right. Already killing our people. Do you aspire to other offices?
Possibly, yes. I suppose, look, I am someone who puts a lot of effort into my role, and ultimately, yeah, I suppose we'd all like to advance in life, wouldn't we?
Sure.
National Parliament is known as Dáil Éireann, and someday I possibly would like to be elected there, but absolutely focused on the job at hand at the moment.
Niall, as a director of corporate services, you're embezzling from the country? No, that's probably not right.
My job sometimes feels like being inside in a kindergarten, 55 counselors.
I'll bet.
Keep them on the straight and narrow.
That's harsh. That's very harsh.
No, it's how we feel about our lawmakers sometimes, too.
Yeah, that's politics here.
Absolutely.
But your job is to also rile up business, as we said, and make sure the businesses have a beneficial relationship going in both directions.
Absolutely. To support the business council in the broadest sense, and international relations is something that's very, very important as part of that, you know, like partnerships and twinnings and keeping the lines of communication open across the diaspora, really, across the world, really.
Ireland is stunning. It's magnificent. It's beautiful. Some of the most beautiful golf courses, Steve.
No doubt.
Do you want everybody to know about County Cork?
I mean, you do have leprechauns, right, for people who've never been?
I haven't actually come across any myself.
But, what?
No, look, Cork.
Rainbows?
We have rainbows, absolutely.
Oh, thank you.
Cork has a fantastic offering. It's a beautiful county. It's the largest county in Ireland. It's the southern tip of Ireland. We have a beautiful natural harbour. We say the second largest natural harbour in the world, after Sydney. So we have a lot of water-based recreational activities and so on. But we have beautiful scenery. West Cork is absolutely outstanding. I think there are great cultural links between Chicago as well. You know, we're very much music and arts festivals and so on. Food is a major theme now from Cork. We're trying to promote it as a food destination.
Sure.
Artisan food, niche foods. Obviously, we've, you know, very natural produce in terms of our agricultural sector,
right?
Grass-based production in terms of beef and dairy and so on. So, and the various products that will come from that.
It's the best oatmeal. I know this is going to sound great. It's the breakfast food is delicious, and the Irish stew. But corned beef and cabbage, is that an American thing?
It's an American-Irish thing, I think, by and large, to be perfectly straight.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, obviously, we do have traditional foods. The potato is still very much a part of the daily diet, but corned beef, not as much. I think, Niall, you'll agree with me on that.
I'd agree with you on that, Mir. Yeah, I suppose bacon and cabbage actually is something that's still very traditional in Ireland. Now, as a country, we're changing. We're becoming more multicultural. But bacon and cabbage, there's nothing to beat it.
And when an American wanders into a pub, they're to order a pint.
Yes.
And what is the other etiquette?
Be conversationalist, I suppose, be chatty. We're known for our welcome, and I think it's true. But I have to say, here in Chicago, the welcome has been outstanding, and I think by and large people are very, very friendly, and that's something you can be very proud of.
You can go into an Irish pub by yourself and walk out with 10 friends.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You can. We don't have a tipping culture. That's one thing.
Well, you too, with your accent, you can get anything you want in this town.
You also walk out of the pub with a hangover. That's guaranteed.
Yes.
We certainly do enjoy ourselves. We have a good social scene, and that's part of life. We enjoy that, but we work hard and we play hard, and certainly the pub culture in Ireland is important, but it's a community facility. It's where people mingle, it's where people mix. I suppose there's a debate at home in terms of rural Ireland and maybe the decline in some ways of the pub, and many people say the pub is where people congregate, they mix, they meet each other, they chat, they tell stories, and that's a part of Irish culture and one that we want to keep alive.
Sure, of course,
because it is distinct to Irishness.
Is it true that the number one sport in Ireland is hurling?
Yeah, the GAA, the Gaelic Athletic Association. So you have hurling and football, but hurling is very, very important in Ireland.
Do you know hurling?
No,
hurling is not what you do when you leave the pub. That's what you do when you leave the pub here.
Right.
Hurling is a stick with a scoop at the end of the stick and a ball.
Okay.
And you got to get from one end of the field to the other and score. But there seems to be, you correct me if I'm wrong, very few rules. I can whack you with my stick as long as you have the ball in your possession. I can do a lot of things to you. I mean, these are real men playing this game.
It looks
like rugby with a teaspoon and a marble.
Yeah, I'd have to correct you, though. There are quite strict rules.
There are.
It might look a little messy at times, but...
It looks like a gang fight.
It is actually
mean lacrosse.
Yes.
It is actually a very, very skilled sport.
There's no doubt there's skill.
The pleasure of being in Croke Park on September for an All-Ireland final, where the counties basically are battling out to be the All-Ireland winner. There's no greater sporting spectacle. It's absolutely amazing.
But the pros don't get paid, is that right?
No, they're amateurs. They have
and they're rock stars. These are the most famous athletes in the country.
Over the last
they're
number of years,
stars.
They would have, I suppose, gain certain benefits, but they don't get a salary. No, it is an amateur sport, and that's something that the GAA holds dearly, to be perfectly straight.
Sure.
No, they have benefits. They have fringe benefits, and obviously it helps.
Well, I'm not talking about the groupies.
No, I wasn't referring to groupies. I was referring to career prospects and so on. I mean,
connections.
They front organizations. You know, they become the PR people, I suppose, because they are so well known and well respected.
It's a fabulous game to watch for people that haven't seen it. It's entertaining,
And I know it's very popular out here in Chicago. The GAA.
It's more of a club sport here. I don't think a lot of people know it, to be honest. They should.
Yeah. And many of the county teams would visit the United States yearly as well to play games and so on.
Yeah.
So we try and keep those things.
Tremendous athletes. Oh, yeah. They're nuts, but they're tremendous athletes.
We have great golf courses, Steve, and I heard you're an avid golfer yourself.
Yeah,
so
I am, actually, yeah.
We'd like to extend an invitation to you to come to Cork.
That call.
We have some outstanding golf courses.
Yes,
Boat Island, the old Hiddekin Sale. I think, Andrea, you've golfed in Ireland,
yes,
so you know.
Druids, and then the course with the narrowest fairway. What's it called again
the
now?
Old the Old Hiddekin Sale.
Yeah. K Club.
On our very doorstep.
Yeah.
Your president owns a golf course in Ireland as well, Doonbeg in County Clare.
I won't be playing that one.
No reflection on the course.
Yes. And Rory McIlroy?
Rory McIlroy is from Northern Ireland, an outstanding golfer. We're very proud of him. He's a great ambassador for Ireland in general, for the island.
Padraig?
Padraig Harrington, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
From originally West Cork, I think.
Yes, his West Cork roots, yeah.
So we're proud of Padraig, but he's a gentleman of the sport.
He's a good man.
He's a gentleman of the sport.
Yes. It's great to have you here. Welcome to Chicago. Thank you for being here. Niles, your first trip as well?
First trip as well, Steve.
Well,
really enjoying it. Having a ball, and that's before the parade starts tomorrow.
Absolutely. Before we have a couple of Guinness.
If you run into any trouble at all, you tell them Steve Cochran said you wouldn't hurt me.
Okay. We'll do that.
But great to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
8:14, Dean Richards live at Channel 9. You know who the most upset person in the world is today?
No, I don't.
Mark Zuckerberg's first child because his wife's expecting a second.
Oh.
There goes the money!
Has to share the inheritance.
I don't know how old the first one is, but the Zuckerbergs are expecting a second child. So I think we know what old Facebook's doing on the weekends, huh?
Did you think he wasn't?
Yeah, he didn't look like the type.
I think he just stays on Facebook and pokes?
Right. I think that's where the majority of the poking is going.
Isn't that what you do on Facebook?
Oh, yeah.
Do you still poke?
I don't know if they
poked a lot on Facebook.
Or not.
I mean, you know, the gesture.
I just know that the new baby's name is going to be Timeline. It'd be weird if they named it like Zuckerberg.
How about block?
You can't block me. I'm sitting right here. All right.
The first child would like to block the second one.
We got movies to review. Kong, Skull Island coming up. Anything else that Dean wants to discuss in the movie world? Three's Company. Let me tell you how slow today is. There's a Three's Company marathon on, and it made Dean's list.
Oh, this is huge.
And
I know that because I got a memo telling me that it is.
And I assume Shirley MacLaine sticking up for her brother, Warren Beatty?
We actually did not speak. We were not. I was supposed to talk to Shirley MacLaine, and then there was some scheduling issue. I wanted to talk about her brother, Shirley MacLaine, but...
her brother, Warren Beatty? Why would she have a brother named Shirley MacLaine when her name is Shirley MacLaine?
So these crazy Hollywood people naming their kids the same names like Mark Zuckerberg's going to do. I wanted that there was a time thing, so I didn't get a chance to talk with her. Because I've had fantastic luck with her, just really spilling her guts. She holds nothing back in any interview, which I love.
Yeah, she's full wackadoodle, and that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, as an interviewer, you want somebody who has no filter.
Yeah. And could you interview one of her spirits?
I could have interviewed one of her past lives. She's had many of them through the years. I'm willing to talk with many of them over and over again. Did you hear this story about Samantha Bee? I'm really curious about your opinion about this. And
I don't know what story.
It is a story that she did. You know, she's got this popular show called Full Frontal. You know,
yeah, Wednesday nights on TBS.
Political.
Is it Wednesday? I think
comedy
it's Wednesday.
Show. It's Wednesday yeah. nights.
Very yeah. funny.
Very funny. I think it's a great show. I enjoy it.
She's not a big Trump fan.
She is, not a big Trump fan. But this segment really didn't have anything to do with Trump. She was doing a story about a guy who, she commented about a guy and a story that she was doing, the content of which really is insignificant, but he had sort of an odd hairdo that she called Nazi hair. There was like sort of a Hitler hairdo. Turns out the next day they find out that this person had this hair because he is completing his first round of chemotherapy.
Yeah, I thought that's where this would end up.
Radiation. Samantha Bee and her producers and writers didn't know that, but they did make fun of this, what turned out to be a cancer patient's haircut, issued an apology. We deeply apologize for offending the person. They put the name in there in our CPAC segment. We only learned of his condition today and have removed him from the story. They also made a contribution to his GoFundMe page, but the person was apologized to says that he wants to make it clear that half apologizing for offending someone is not apologizing for making baseless accusations against people because of the way that they look.
Well, they're both right, aren't they? I mean, I don't know if it was a half apology or not. He's entitled to his opinion, but I don't know what else Samantha Bee and her people could have done, because sometimes we in the funny business will go a little too far, won't we, Dean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It happens all the time. But I guess the question, if you don't know, I mean, if you're in the funny business, you're kind of in the business of making fun of people. And sometimes that has to do with physical appearance. But, you know, I don't think that she would have, you know, said, oh, there's a cancer patient, let me go make fun of
him. No.
Had she known.
No.
She just didn't know that the guy has, it's a form of brain cancer that he's got.
I don't know that I would have gone with Nazi hair. That's a very weird reference. You know, the Hitler mustache, that's one you can go to because that's not a real popular look. And if somebody has it, it's pretty apparent. You know, the Hitler salute. I've never heard Nazi hair. Have you?
No, I guess not. But when I did see the picture, I know what she was talking about, because it's kind of that haircut, you know, hairstyle that Hitler had.
Yeah.
Are you talking about Hitler's hairstyle?
Hitler's hair. Hitler had a place at the, you know, Hitler had somebody come down to the bunker to cut his hair. They just take a bowl, put it on his head, clip, clip, clip. Give me the Hitler hair!
I only know my Hitler hair from the Three Stooges when Moe would be Hitler and do his Hitler routine.
Well, the best, of course,
comedy.
The best, of course, is Mel Brooks.
And Mel Brooks?
Mel Brooks, who would take the comb out of his back pocket, put it under his nose,
right?
And turn into Adolf Hitler.
So is that why they said Hair Hitler?
Not what they. No, see? You got to listen closer.
See,
man.
Going for the derivation. That's why listening to this show is just like Channel 11.
It's educational.
Yeah.
We just like listening to Steve and Dean tell hair stories.
Yes.
There you go, right there.
If anybody can be experts on hair,
if only
it's the two of us. There's no question.
Not a decent head of hair between us.
If you put Dean's hair and my hair together, you'd have half a head of hair on a guy that's still bald.
That much.
Calling his name, oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
So, Dean, yesterday I had a chance to speak with Paul Rennie and Jen Lyons, the bosses there at Channel 9.
Oh, yeah, very fine people.
Yeah, they're good people.
Handsome, too. Handsome, beautiful, wonderful people.
They said you're out Friday.
I'm out when? This Friday?
No, next Friday. They wanted to give you a week.
Wow. That's good to know.
No, they love you. They love this.
Collecting my things.
They love you. They love this segment, which I think goes to questionable judgment on their part.
That's why I say intelligent. Right. Very. Did I mention handsome?
Attractive and intelligent.
Handsome,
yes,
attractive.
Yes, yes, yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And I think the important thing is we don't suck up.
No, I mean, really, really quite the opposite.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
If anyone are two troublesome employees, it would be us.
There you go. In the 9 o'clock hour, because we were talking about CLTV, in the 9 o'clock hour, are we doing the Spot the Purple today? Yes, we are. Spot the Purple in the 9 o'clock hour on CLTV, and is when
that,
you do.
Is that segment in color?
That's the weird part. It's not, so it's very difficult. It's you got to really super focus.
I hear that they're going to be getting colored cameras for CLTV soon.
Have you bullies at Channel 9 making fun of us on CLTV?
We have the original cameras from when Ray Rayner went on the air back in 1959.
Actually, Ray's running the cameras. Yeah. A lot of people don't know. So Spot the Purple, be the seventh caller when you hear the cat roar. And when you do, you will win big.
Hey, speaking of fine sister channels,
yeah,
like your CLTV,
yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but on our sister Nostalgia channel,
and yes,
Tenna TV, which is over the air digital channel 9.2 or on fine cable and satellite systems, starting tomorrow at 12 noon, we're doing a Three's Company marathon.
You are not.
It's the come and knock on the door. We've been waiting for
you. You know my favorite part of this show? All of it.
A lot of people don't know this show is based on when Steve used to live with Andrea and Mary Vandeville.
Yes.
Back in the day.
It's true. Yeah, it's true.
And it was just, we were always confusing everything with each other.
Yeah, there was always a misunderstanding.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. When Andrea would be watering her flowers and then accidentally the water can would go out the window and spill on Mary Vanderbilt.
Remember that part where I ride the bike and I'd slip off the sidewalk?
You were looking at a beautiful girl and fell right into the sand. That actually happened. People see that on the show now and go, oh, funny John Ritter comedy. That's based on a true story. They never said that.
Well, people wonder why in the opening of Three's Company it said ripped from the headlines. Mm-hmm. That's why.
That's why.
That's right.
Yeah. Based on a true story.
Whatever happened to our landlord, Mr. Roper?
I believe all the Ropers are all passed away.
Oh, now. That's a shame.
Whatever happened to the Regal Beagle?
Oh.
The Regal Beagle?
Yeah.
Remember there was a Regal Beagle right around the corner?
There was, right down the street from us.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, we used to go over there and then we didn't.
Larry loved the Regal Beagle.
Have Harvey Wallbangers.
Yeah. Oh,
another God. 70 drinks.
Do you know the Larry? Remember the Larry that used to come to the Regal Beagle? That was Larry Wirt.
I was going to say he reminded me of Dean because he would always have the shirt open.
Yeah, Larry Wirt.
And the gold chains resting Larry on Wirt. The chest hair.
Larry Wirt.
I've been looking at watching some clips because we've been showing some clips, and they were big on the shirts buttoned down to the belly button.
Yep.
And hairy chests were super popular back
Larry
then.
Larry Wirt. So this starts at noon tomorrow?
Starts at noon tomorrow and goes until early Monday.
Wow, fantastic. Nothing I know what I'm doing this
Three's
weekend.
Three's Company, baby, on your antenna TV.
What's your Shirley MacLaine story?
Shirley MacLaine has a new movie out that's called The Last Word.
Mm-hmm.
She stars with Amanda Seyfried.
Mm-hmm.
She plays, I know this is a stretch for Shirley MacLaine, someone who speaks her mind, who doesn't care what the consequences are of what she says to anyone, has basically spent her whole life being as extremely unpleasant as possible to almost everyone. And now she realizes that really because most people don't like her, what's her obituary going to be like
oh boy.
When she passes away?
Oh boy.
So, you know, she does what any of us would do, hire an obituary writer to craft an obituary before you die so you can look at it and approve it. That's what Amanda Seyfried does in the movie. Kind of tags along with this very unpleasant person who realizes that she's got to make some changes in her life. She's got to try to fix some of the bridges that she...
Thus, the arc of the character.
Thus, the arc of the character. Can she successfully do that? Honestly, it's a story you can see coming a mile away of what's going to happen. She becomes a radio DJ in the movie.
Oh, yeah, that's easy to get.
Part of the redemption. That was weird. And she decides she also wants to be charitable.
Mm.
So she mentors a young African-American girl, a little African-American girl.
Why is it always got to be black?
Oh, it's a little bit uncomfortable. Like she goes to a community center and picks one out like she's...
Like she's black shopping?
Like she's purchasing a human being.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's kind of icky and weird. So great actresses. Love them both. This is not a story worthy of either of them. not a terrible movie. It's definitely not a great movie. Gave it a Dean's List C.
Carms?
I just was seeing the future right there. This is my, I don't want to give away my million-dollar idea here, Steve, but it's the funeral before the funeral. Like, you're talking about writing obits. Why not have like a sort of a staged funeral so you get to see what everybody says about you and everyone's super emotional, and then you come out and it's like you're, you know, you get all that love.
I think probably because it would be incredibly creepy.
I gotta say,
so you're talking about
that too.
Faking your own death and throwing the party, well, to see what people really thought of
you. Don't you want to go to your funeral and hear what everybody says about
you? It's a Friends episode. No.
I just want to see who shows up. I don't really necessarily want to see what they say. I just want us to, like, oh, didn't have 10 minutes to stop at the funeral home. Thanks.
President Trump's doing my obituary.
Oh, and how would that go?
Oh, great. He was a terrific guy, not a loser, not at all. What did he say about me? Oh, we're out of time.
Hashtag fake Steve.
That's going to be in the sequel, the Shirley MacLaine movie.
I like that Dean just wants to take roll call. Did you make it?
And then he pops out. Kidding!
What would you put in your own obituary if you were going to write your own obituary?
Fabulous. Just an incredible guy. Tremendous athlete. Never said a bad word about anybody. I'd lie, in other words.
Yes. Kind of fits with this movie.
Yeah, I'd lie completely.
I've said many times that all I request is that the first line of my obituary say, Dean Richards, best known as the voice of Victory Auto Wreckers. And then after that,
oh, that's cool.
I don't really care what you say.
You know, a lot of people say, I want people to move on. You know, life is for the living. I want people to move on. I don't. I want people to be miserable days, maybe weeks,
at least a
possibly
week.
Months.
Yeah. Mourn.
Oh, more
black.
Than a week. More than a week.
Yeah, I'd like to be a year of mourning.
How about it, Andrea? We want it like old Greek ladies, yeah, where you wear black for the rest of your
right.
life.
The black babushkas and the knee.
I
stockings.
Like weeping and gnashing of teeth for an extended period of time.
The knee socks up to the, you know, the calves.
All right, we're super late. Kong Island.
Loved it. It's maybe one of the best King Kong movies.
Good.
That have come out.
John's very excited.
I'm excited.
Super,
he loves Kong movies.
Super great story. Amazing effects. The creatures, the monsters, all look good. It's not just King Kong. They go to Skull Island, kind of going back to the roots of the King Kong legacy, where it's just nothing but giant creatures versus these scientists who go to explore this island. And it's, you know, fight for survival for everybody. Really, really well done. See it on as big a screen as possible. Dean's List B+ on that one.
Good. And you're on Sunday?
I am on Sunday with some of the stars of Beauty and the Beast, by the way, including the composer of almost all the great Disney songs of recent days, anyway, Alan Menken, at the piano.
Wow.
Really cool interview. That's going to be Sunday morning.
Tale as old as time. Thanks, buddy. See you later.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
It's called Privileged. This bill is written so that it can't be filibustered, so that they have to bring it up and vote on it in the Senate. And if we put things in this bill that take that privilege off of it so that it's not reconciliation, they won't even vote on it. They will filibuster it and they won't even vote on it. So that's what I mean when I say this is the closest we've been to a repealing and replacing Obamacare. And let me just say it again. This is the closest we will ever get to repealing and replacing Obamacare.
#844, scare tactics are the real deal. 844 now, and Peter Roskam, 6th District, House of Representatives. Congressman, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How you doing?
What a wild and wacky week in your business.
Yeah, that's for sure.
What's your take on the speaker's take on this? Good move, bad move, neither.
Look, I think that there's an urgency to this whole situation, and there's an urgency to where we are on health care. There's an urgency to where we are with our tax code. And here's what I know. We can't stay here. So there's some people that have been well served by Obamacare. There's some people that have been really hurt by Obamacare. And so what we're trying to do is move forward with a plan that is better for more people and doesn't hurt folks who are on it. And trying to move forward, and something that I'm spending a lot of time on, is a tax code that is failing us, not only on the complexity side, but it's failing us internationally, and we've got to update it, and we've got a once-in-a-generation opportunity to do that. But look, it's hard work, and it's supposed to be hard work. in a nation this big to drive and get to consensus to move forward on things that are better. So it's bumpy, it's arduous, it's difficult, and it's supposed to be.
Tax code's a mess. I do want to talk to you about that. But in regards to Trump Care, Ryan Care, nobody wants to name it after them, but whatever you want to call it, the concern in the urgency is that you've rushed too much and that there are people that are going to be hurt quickly. What do you make of that?
I don't think it's rushed too much. So I think that in the past, you know, the GOP has moved forward a number of bills, obviously, that have repealed Obamacare. And now in the House Ways and Means Committee the other day, we moved a bill that would take off the Obamacare taxes. In another health care committee, they were dealing with some of these other elements as it relates to Medicaid reforms and so forth. But there's three vehicles that Obamacare replacement is going to move through. And by definition, they don't move fast. The first is what I just described. The second is what the Department of Health and Human Services is able to do under the current Affordable Care Act. And then the final piece is what will take 60 votes to get through the United States Senate. And those three things are moving in concert and relationship with one another, but they're not moving fast. The inverse of the criticism of moving too fast is, hey, you're all talk and you guys don't have a plan. So I think what we're trying to do is to move forward thoughtfully, but intentionally. And that is not to dally and just have a bunch of platitudes, but to begin to move pieces of legislation with actual text that people can evaluate. Here's what we want to avoid. The notion when Nancy Pelosi passed the Affordable Care Act out of the House when she was Speaker, and she said with no sense of irony, I mean, she actually meant this, we've got to pass it so that you know what's in it. These things are now being well discussed
one of the singular most ridiculous quotes to ever come out of a politician's mouth. And it is online and you can read it. However, it is written by lawyers and it is difficult in spots, I will warn you. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't avoid the responsibility of reading it and trying to understand it, though. Ryan Care, Trump Care for Dummies would probably not be a bad idea if you attach some cliff notes.
Yeah, I think that's right. And look, here's what it all comes down to. I think most people, they say, look, I don't have a very strong opinion about the way something is drafted. Here's what I want. I want to have health care that is affordable for my family, and I want to make sure that people with pre-existing conditions are protected, and they're protected against lifetime caps and some of those sorts of things. So I think that that's the proposal that is being discussed. That is at the structure. That's at the foundation. And what happened under Obamacare, Steve, I think is interesting in that it was oversold. People were told, if you like your doctor, you get to keep it and you're going to save $2,500 a year. And some people benefited under that through the expansion of Medicaid, but it came at the expense of somebody else. And a lot of folks in my constituency I've heard from have been hurt by the Affordable Care Act. I've also heard from people who have been helped by it. So what we're trying to navigate through is, hey, this shouldn't be a zero-sum game. This shouldn't be that somebody gets the benefit and somebody else is hurt.
No, and
so
I think
we can do a better job.
And as much of the politics as possible to take out of it, as opposed to we really want to punish the Obama legacy, no, let's do what's right. Let's keep what works in this thing. You can name it anything you want to name it, but keep what works in this thing and add what we need to so it is a zero-sum game.
Yeah, and so I think there's elements that came out of this that said, let's make sure that nobody has to be fearful of getting excluded from an insurance pool based on a pre-existing condition. And we wholeheartedly agree with that. Let's make sure kids can stay on their parents' policies till they're 26 years old. Let's make sure that people are protected from lifetime insurance caps and getting thrown out of an insurance pool. But at the same time, and you can do this, you can get to driving these costs down and where you don't have basically a big government mandate, government imposed top down approach, because that's really not working. So I think we can do it, but it's going to take everybody to participate, and you've got to keep the natural tension is you got to keep moving and you don't want to stall, but at the same time you don't want to jam something through, because jamming something through is very, very dissatisfying.
Congressman, I wanted to ask you about these contentious town hall meetings that have been happening all over the country, specifically with Republican representatives. Have you experienced any of this anger at your town halls, and will you no longer have them?
I've done one town hall since I've been in Congress, and I found the whole town hall experience, you know, this is not like the old the old days, you know, when people would come and be reasonable. Basically, town halls have dissolved into people shouting at one another. They come in angry and they leave angrier. What I've done is telephone town halls the other night, and I do these about once a month for the past, you know, quite some time. And I had 18,000 people on the phone. Q&A got to about 20 questions and comments, and it's highly interactive. But look, I think people are anxious. There's a level of anxiety that's palpable. People that have something, for example, under the ACA, want to keep what they have, and they're fearful. They're anxious. And so I think the responsibility of people like me who represent a constituency is to make sure I'm listening and make sure that I'm attentive to those things, but also move forward and make proposals that are solution-oriented, that we can actually make some of these changes. But the good news is that our country has been through difficult, challenging times in the past. We're in a difficult, challenging time right now, and we've got the capacity, I think, to do right by people.
Hang on 1 second. I want to ask you about the tax code. More with Peter Roskam in a moment. Peter Roskam, the congressman from the 6th, joins us on the phone now. All right, your tax code, in simplistic terms, because you know me, I'm simple. What are you trying to accomplish?
We're trying to make the U.S. the most competitive tax jurisdiction in the world so that capital and jobs form here, number one. Number two, we're trying to simplify this so that 95% of American taxpayers can fill their tax return out on something as big as a postcard. And we can do it. There's a blueprint that we've proposed. We're getting a lot of input and a lot of feedback on it. And also we're trying to lower rates and clear out a lot of the complexity, but do it in a way that's revenue neutral. So in other words, you're creating growth, which is paying for things, and trying not to put more debt burden on the economy. So that is, in a nutshell, Steve, the approach on this thing. And I think, to your point earlier, it's a one-in-a-generation lifetime. You know, that we're at a national inflection point on this because nobody is defending the status quo of the tax code.
No, the tax code.
Nobody likes it.
It's ridiculous.
People like some elements of it, but nobody likes
the H&R Block guy doesn't like it.
Nobody likes it. The protesters don't like it. You don't like it.
Nobody likes it.
Let's dump this thing.
All right, and give me 30 seconds on the Trump-Russia investigation and what's your role in it.
So I was out in Kosovo and in Georgia 2 weeks ago, countries that have had a lot of pressure from the Russians and have assured them that we are standing with these countries. And these things need to be investigated. The House Intelligence Committee and the Senate Intelligence Committee have investigations that are underway. It needs to be evaluated and reviewed and dealt with through law enforcement.
Until we get the answer. And if the answer is nothing happened, great.
Yeah, that's it. I've seen no evidence of the wiretapping issue that the president was tweeting about over the weekend, but the intelligence committees are taking this up.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
That's Congressman Peter Roskam from the 6th. It's easy to find him. Just Google Roskam. What are you doing this weekend?
What do you feel like doing tonight?
What do you feel like doing?
Sponsored by Majestic Star Casino. What do we want to do?
It's all things St. Patrick's Day this weekend, Steve. The city parade kicks off at noon right at Columbus and Balbo. Just ahead of that, they'll be dyeing the river green right here at Michigan and the River. Southside Irish Parade is on Sunday. That's in the Beverly neighborhood. Goes from 103rd and Western to about 115th and Western.
Drink early, drink often.
It's all-day celebration, let me tell you. So there's all kinds of things to do. So many restaurants, so many bars. There's way too many to mention having St. Patrick's Day parties. One of the biggest ones that starts at noon is the Rooftop at the Wit. Dress green, get a discount. And Gayhouse also having celebrations all weekend long as well. They're still celebrating the Worldly Wine Festival as part of the International Women's Wine Festival this weekend as well. And then Mamma Mia, I think Wendy Snyder went and saw that.
Okay.
They've extended their run through April 16th. And Tony and Tina's Wedding, our own Brian Noonan starring in that as well. And that has been extended indefinitely.
Okay. So
there's a lot going on this weekend.
Majestic Star Casino sponsors What Do You Want to Do? CLTV joins us, and we are back in a moment on 720 WGN.
A
little Friday sing-along. Go ahead, right now.
When my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face.
Musical Board with John DeCause coming up.
I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place.
Why, it sounds like he's singing now.
Now I've tuned to you.
My favorite part's coming up.
And the day's all bright with me.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
The voice and wake-up call. I know that it can only be.
White people, put your hands up.
Cochran
Show.
Rock it like a Caucasian. That is so sad working with you people.
I loved it.
It's 9:12. Hi, John.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Don't we have a show coming up?
We do.
When is that?
We are going to do a show. Hey, tickets are almost pretty close to sold. So yeah. We've got obstructed view. Yes. Yeah, right. Obstructed view. We have a drive-through view.
Yeah, we're doing a new thing, piggyback.
Piggyback view.
Where you can get on the shoulders of someone and pay half price.
But this is a cool show because it's going to be you and I, and of course, Andrea Darlis doing stand-up. I cannot wait.
I still have to do my walkthrough with you.
Oh, I love it.
You got a little less than a month. Are you nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should be.
Thanks.
No, she shouldn't be at all. She rocked it the first time, so this was great.
We had fun.
April 8th at 7:30 at the Metropolis Theater in downtown.
So that's May 8th?
April 8th, 7:30. You can go to metropolisarts.com.
7:30, so 7:15 for me?
7:15 for you, a.m. for you.
Okay.
A.m. for you.
Good call.
Yes.
What day of the week is that?
That's a Saturday night.
That's against my religion.
That doesn't work?
That's against my religion.
Okay.
No, of course I'll be there.
Of course. Yeah, we're going to do some different.
It's going to be a funny
show.
Got a game show?
Game show. Yes. Play the match game.
That's
so
going to give away some
prizes.
Yeah.
Oh, we're just going to have some. I can't wait.
We're going to give away the tires from the Blue Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Blue Thunder.
My only disappointment is I really wish I was going to be there. Anyways, metropolisarts.com, box office 847-577-2121, April 8th.
One of the things that's happened on this show is the narcissistic egomaniacs that work on this show all want a John DeCause song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like you've got one?
I do, yeah.
I've got one.
Love my song.
Andre has two.
Mine sounded a lot like the one you just heard.
Yeah.
Is that my only song?
No, there's another one, but we never play it.
Which one is the other one?
Is it the B-list, the B-side?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was.
Hurry, don't be late.
Is it...
Is that how it goes?
No, but it will be now.
So I want her.
Oh, I get it. Okay, she's making up her own song.
That's good.
But in the process of all this, you realized recently because they told you that Mike Jacobson and Mary Sandberg, Friza Glazier, Farfrig Nugent, Boyle, Comcast, Sportsnet,
right?
They didn't have their songs.
They don't have a theme song. No,
right.
No.
Right. And they don't get recognized enough for all the hard lifting they do.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
So you've done a couple of songs.
I have done a couple of songs, and these are all for fun, obviously, but these are the longer versions.
Okay.
I make sure that you can cut those and make them into small ones. Okay.
Nice.
So,
are you guys excited? Yeah.
You know, since it's called The Steve Cochran Show, can we play both of my songs at some point?
I think we could arrange
that. Right, I appreciate that.
Do you want to hear the
I didn't even know, to be honest with you, I didn't know you had another song. That's news to me.
It'll be all part of the meeting. all right, so what do you want to say to set up Mike's song?
Mike, here's what he told me. He gave me four or five different artists, and then he gave me a genre.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose country, and as we both know, Darius Rucker. Uh-huh. And the song is All Right, which is now, I bought the album. I love the song so much. So,
all right, you ready?
Hootie and the Blowfish, yes.
All right, here you go. Darius Rucker on 720 WGN. It's the Mike Jacobson song.
I get here early at the 720 station. A coffee breakfast at the Starbucks where I dine. I do my prep work, nobody else around me. The only time of day no one can hear me whine. The spots and sound bites I produce, I do excel. And plus I do the voice of Mary Vanderbilt. Hello, I'm Jake, Mike Jacobson, producing the shows at WGN. All night, all night. White Sox cap stuck on my head. I even wear it overnight in my bed. All night, all night. I can't tell night from day. It's all the same to me. The place I live in smaller than a 4x4. When Audrey stays the night, she sleeps outside the door. 'Cause I'm Jake, Mike Jacobson, millennial catch if ever was one. That's right. So right, baritone voice, I have been told, even though I look like I'm 7 years old. Downright, out of sight, but this job's not so bad. I could be making plastic with my dad.
Wow.
That's it.
Tremendous. Woo! You didn't miss a thing.
Oh, that was fun.
I thought you were going to do his bar mitzvah. That was tremendous.
You just get better and better.
Oh, no, that was really
well done.
How long did that take you to come up with?
I started that 2 years before I met you.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
That was really good. Did he miss anything?
I think he pretty much got it all.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe just Chipotle. He's a lot of Chipotle.
I do eat a lot of Chipotle.
And I thought about that, too. My favorite is the Audrey's on the phone.
She wants to have a conversation later.
Phone.
Sorry, and it was tough to get something to rhyme with Kohl's.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think my apartment's 3x3, actually.
Okay.
3x3.
Yeah, I was thinking, but my favorite was the White Sox cap on my head. I wear it. Even
really nice.
My
yeah,
so
that was my favorite. I've never seen you without the White Sox.
Anyone who wants to be friends with John, you'll get a song eventually. All right, so Mary, don't be too cocky about this. Yours is next. Stand by, Mary Sandberg, Boyle, Comcast, Sportsnet, and other things. In just a second, with musical director John DeCuss on a Friday on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Now, this is John as well.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand.
It's from his one-woman show, a tribute to Stevie.
With an equal opportunity for all to sing, dance, and clap their hands.
Funny part is he plays the horns as well. Listen.
But just because the record has a groove, don't make it
right about here.
But you can tell right away that to A when the people start to move.
Blow that thing!
They can feel it all over. They can feel it all over.
Back in the Allstate Showcase studio, show number 858. Sandberg's joined us in studio, and you're known for being direct.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope this song is direct the way you like it.
I hope so.
John, what would you like to say about Sandberg's song?
She also gave me some suggestions, but...
Who was the least helpful? Was it Pat Brady?
Pat Brady was the least helpful, without a doubt.
You interviewed Pat Brady about me?
No.
But he asked Pat Brady for suggestions on a song for Pat.
Goes,
what did Pat say?
I don't really listen to music. I don't... No. I don't really. I mow my lawn. That's all I do.
Pat Brady forgot to eat the other day, so yeah, I'm not sure. That just,
forget to eat.
Yeah. Not here. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Not here.
All right. So, Sandberg, you got all the information you needed?
I got all the information, and I chose Taylor Swift.
Yes.
And it's
my girl.
Yes.
That's good because, as you know, Carms, you may not know this. I'm a Swiftie.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah,
I love. She's really good.
She's very talented.
Writes her own music. This is good. So yeah. I chose.
Plays her instruments.
Yes.
And Mary uses a Swiftie probably every single day.
Oh,
so it works
that's
out well.
It's a Swiffer.
It's a Swiffer or whatever. Yeah, right, I was going to say that, but I want to.
So it's Taylor Swift. What else?
Taylor Swift. We are.
Hang
never,
on. My sister needed outfit consultation for a date last night, and so she FaceTimed me yesterday. In the middle of FaceTime, I had to get out the Dustbuster. My Roy B one, and I was dusting the crumbs. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I can still see you, but I got to get these crumbs.
Oh, God.
Wow, you might want to move a little bit.
I need to rewrite this song. That's what.
What
I
did you rhyme with cuckoo?
What rhymes with boiled money?
We are never ever getting back together.
Yes, by all right. Love that song.
So. All right, for Sandberg, here is her theme song from musical director John DeCoste.
I remember when I saw her face
the first time.
She put Jimmy DeCastro in his place.
Oh God.
They asked her if she could just produce.
She said,
"Why do you think I'm here?
Hello."
She took over the Cochrane Morning Show.
Thank God.
She worked with everyone to make it go
her way.
Her only focus now to make it grow.
Hold on, what's that? A brand new washer and dryer? Ooh,
ooh, ooh, ooh. She comes off very sweet and nice and ooh. The truth is, we're terrified, we're terrified. She is Mary, Mary, Mary. She is Mary Sandberg. She is Mary, Mary, Mary. She is Mary Sandberg. Never bring your paper towels that don't say Bounty brand. Cause she is Mary, 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 Mary. She is Mary Sandberg.
Like never.
Mary, 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 Mary Sandberg. Boyle is now the last name of Mary, Mary, but she is still scarier than scary.
Yes, hello. I talked to our HR department, and then I called 911, and now I'm pretty sure we have an exorcist coming. I mean, I'm telling you right now, she's scary.
She is Mary, Mary, Mary. She is Mary Sandberg. She is Mary, Mary, Mary. She is Mary Sandberg. She's the one at MSU who can't be seen in green. Cause she is Mary, Mary, Mary. She is Mary Sandberg. Oh, man.
Fantastic!
Oh my God!
That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun.
I like
that
when you call 911.
That was good.
That was painful.
That was
really something else.
That was fun. That was actually fun.
Do you like it?
Good song.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Good song.
Even worked in the Michigan State
one. I know that one is really. I love you for that.
That was like a whole section of green.
Oh my God. Except
they were all going to wear white, but she couldn't. What? No, you.
No, they were all wearing green, and I don't wear green.
And you don't wear green.
She don't wear green.
I do not look good in green. I will not be seen in green.
I'm in the big stadium photo, and there's this white dot.
There's this white dot in the middle of the.
You're not going to see her this weekend at all.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. So, Jake, you're happy? Yeah, you like. Yeah.
I loved it. It was great.
Like Sandberg, you like it?
I like it a lot. That's good stuff. Yeah. I think we're probably going to play that every week.
What's even funnier?
We don't play Cochran's song, but we're going to play mine.
What's even funnier is that everybody should watch DLTV because while you're playing the song, these montages of pictures like you guys were in memoriam were flashing up. Hilarious. Yeah.
Well, every time I write these songs, I always have a favorite line. My favorite line for Murray was, never bring her paper towels that don't say Bounty brand.
Yes.
I worked on that stupid line, trying to get it and work it and all things. So,
get the rhythm right. Get the arrangement right. Yes.
So, but
which song was harder to come up with?
I have a process. It's weird. I write stuff down. So yours changed more than his. But yours, I was really worried about. I was more concerned.
He spends hours on this. Yeah. You know, you think it's just bagels and a good time? No, he spends hours
on
this.
You ask my wife, and she laughs when she sees me go through. She's gone.
Yeah, she's gone.
We're
she
divorced.
Left you.
We're divorced. I'm going to write that song soon.
Yeah. Yeah. So, 9:29. Get your tickets for John and me and Andrea and players to be named later. Out in Arlington Heights at the Metropolis. One more time?
One more time. You can call the box office directly at 847-577-2121 or go to metropolisarts.com. That's April 8th at 7:30.
And we'll figure out how you can get a copy of all of John's songs for nothing soon. It's 9:29 and 7:20 at WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 7:20 WGN. We'll give it a shot.
941, Bon Jovi this weekend with our friend Willie Geist. Today's show, weekend today, Morning Joe. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning. I'm here to root for the Northwestern Wildcats today is what I'm here for. Those are my people. I was born in Evanston, so we want them to go all the way, man.
No kidding. And first time in the tournament, we'll get the official word on Sunday night. You know, we got the Cubs last fall, now this. Oh, it's a big
it's
week.
All happening.
Or big year.
I interviewed
big whatever.
Future show this week, I interviewed Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who, as you may know, her son is a walk-on on the Northwestern team. And she had Charlie, and she is a freakish fan. And we had a good interview. But the minute I mentioned Northwestern, she lit up and started yelling and screaming during the interview. And then he got in the game last night, so it's all very exciting.
He got two rebounds last night. Have you seen the video?
I did.
She goes bananas. She is every mom ever.
It's so true. It's good to see her that way. It's
no doubt. All right, before we get to Bon Jovi, a couple of things. One is, I know you guys on Morning Joe went nuts about this. Michael Flynn, General Flynn. We certainly salute his service, but somewhere along the way, he went off the rails. And now we know, and this story has barely been touched. You guys did a nice job of hammering it. But Michael Flynn was a registered agent for the Turkish government. By the way, he just remembered that 2 days ago. So he registered retroactively.
Yeah.
How could the Trump people not know that?
Well, it's one of two things. They actually didn't know. Which is shocking, right? If you didn't, the vetting process was so thin that you didn't know he was an agent of the Turkish government, or they're not being honest about what they knew, and they feel like at this point, since he's not around, they can just brush it aside and say, yeah, we didn't know, and nobody will ask any more questions. But it is true that he didn't require Senate confirmation, so maybe there was no vetting, but I think somebody should have looked into that. And as I said this morning, this was not a part of his deep, dark past. This was during the campaign. This was in August, September, and October, and I think in November, too, that he was advising the Turks. And he, in fact, wrote an op-ed that appeared on Election Day for The Hill defending Turkey and saying we need to help Turkey more. So it's just, it's one in a long list of stories, but I think if you stop and think about it, it's pretty staggering that they didn't know their national security advisor was working hand in hand with the Turks.
Who used to be one of our most important allies and gets further and further away from that every day. And the president of Turkey is a real problem.
Yeah. There's no question about it. And I think, I think you heard Mike Pence address it, and he said, well, my response to that is I didn't know about it, and I believe that President Trump made the right decision in letting him go. Now, don't forget, they pitched it at the time as General Flynn resigning and that Donald Trump had protested because the media ran a good man out of office. But now it's we fired him because we knew some of these things. Who knows? We can keep up.
The level of forgetfulness just continues to amaze me. I mean, I forget my phone. I forget my wallet. I don't think I would forget to divulge if I was a Turkish agent.
Yeah.
If I'm going up for national security advisor.
Seemed like that'd be part of your day.
You'd think.
Yeah, it'd be high on the list of things I might disclose if I were up to be national security advisor was the fact that I'm a Turkish agent, yes.
Here's the other danger, Willie, I think, for the Trump people, is if there is something to hide and you're now throwing General Flynn under the bus a second time, what motivation does he have not to tell everything he knows?
Yeah, exactly. He has no skin in that game anymore, and he's got to protect his reputation if he can do so. So it's a dangerous place to be, and I think coming out and just bald-faced not being truthful about things like this or saying, I don't remember meeting with a Russian ambassador, it always catches up to you. It always does.
One of the things in the Trump Care, Ryan Care, they'd like to name it Willie Care. Nobody wants to name the thing named after them.
That's dangerous.
But one of the things in it is a potential tax on sun tanning, you know, the tanning booths and things. Did you guys play the video of this nonsense debate that went on yesterday?
No, I didn't even see that.
You got to see it. There's a guy named Joe or John Smith, one of the two, it's Joe Smith from Missouri. We'll play the sound here in a few minutes. But he actually is arguing in favor of not taxing these people and these small businesses. Because where are we going to stop? Why don't we just tax the sun?
Oh, my God.
That's what we're paying for, kids.
What do you say to that? What do you say to that? And why are we even talking about the sun tax, the sun bed tax?
Yeah.
I don't think, are there still sun tanning beds? I don't know how that works anymore, but it feels like that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, I don't know. I think when Boehner left, they all went with him. It's a hot mess. All right, so tell me about Sunday's big interview, a sit-down with a guy who's a great guy. I know you've known him for a long time, but Jon Bon Jovi could not be a nicer guy.
Such a good guy. So genuinely a great guy. I grew up in the New Jersey suburbs in 1980, so I was obligated to... Slippery When Wet was part of the deal.
Yeah.
He had to be there with it. So he's, you know, the big story there is Richie Sambora, who's been with him forever, just walked out on him during their last tour 3.5 years ago. Didn't really give an explanation. And so now he's doing a tour and making music and made this new album without the guy who's always been at his right side. So I think there's a little scar tissue there, as you'll see in the interview. He won't, still loves the guy, grew up with him, it's his brother, but he still didn't sound like he has an adequate explanation of why Richie walked away from it, and especially without telling them in the middle of a tour. So that conversation gets very interesting in our interview.
Well, that is interesting, because I knew Richie a little bit back in the 90s, and I lost touch with him, but he was a great guy, too. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, I think John said, you know, he's got some stuff going on in his life, and he didn't want to throw him under the bus on it, but he also said, I have stuff in my life, and if I had to walk away, I would have called Richie and the guys and said, here's why I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Please respect my decision. And I think that phone call never came. And I think it's still right beneath the surface when you start asking about it. It's still raw.
Willie, I love this band. And I saw a documentary on them years ago, probably around Slippery When Wet. And there was such a brotherhood. I mean, literally, they had...
Well, you grew up in the 80s. This was
I
your
know,
band.
This is my band. I love these guys. We all had the same hair, too.
Yes.
Which was kind of cool. But was there ever, and maybe this is a guy thing, was there ever any attempt at one to reach the other and be like, dude, what's going on?
Yeah,
why?
No, I think John did. I think he reached out initially, and Richie didn't call him back. And I think that's why the scar tissue is there, because he said, how can we go through this together for 30 years and then have you walk away? Maybe you got sick of the music. Maybe you're sick of the guys. I think John said, that's fine, but what's going on? You owe me better than this. And it gets really interesting to talk about that dynamic. But his position is, John's is, I still have an album to make. I still got a tour to run. So we hired a new guitar player named Phil X, and off we go. And the album was number one right away. And he said, I can't. If I get mired in the melodrama of our infighting or whatever it is, and that becomes a story, it overshadows what we're trying to do. So I turned the corner and I moved on, and I wish Richie the best, is effectively what he said.
And I think a lot of people listening go, well, how can that happen? Come on. Guys are so on the surface. But I'm telling you, I've got two very close friends that we hung out forever, and one left the other. I still talk with both of them. But one of them just stopped returning calls to the other. Just disappeared. And I tried to talk to him and said, well, if you don't want to have this relationship anymore, at least tell him. And
right.
He just quit returning phone calls. I mean, weird things like that happen. You know, people change in life. I'm not excusing it, but it does happen.
Yeah, it does. I think they went through so much together. John talks about it. People don't remember. They were sort of middling for a while. They had a couple albums that did okay. And then Slippery When Wet with, you know, Living on a Prayer and Wanted, all those songs just exploded and launched them into a different stratosphere. And they went through all that together. Like, they were nobodies together. Then they became Bon Jovi. And so I think that's why, you know, it hurts John a little bit is, you know, they've been there together. They've been brothers. You know, they've been brothers through this. And he walked away.
Hope you have a great weekend. We'll be watching on Sunday when Willie Guy sits down with the great Jon Bon Jovi. Who has better hair?
Oh, Bon Jovi by a long shot.
It's long.
He's got more range. He's, you know, he can do the long perm from 87, and now he's got it up salt and pepper tight for 2017.
So you're saying your hair doesn't have the same versatility?
No, I've had the same haircut since 1986.
Yeah, well, at least you can cut it. All right, my friend, thank you.
All right, guys. See ya.
There you go. Willie Geist, Sunday today. Those interviews are great.
They are awesome.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a good one, too.
And a long-form sit-down. All right, we'll come back, play a little sound from the guy who thinks maybe we ought to just tax the sun then in a moment on 720 WGN. A couple of pieces of sound you may not have heard. We were talking about Mike Flynn and the fact that he's a registered lobbyist for Turkey. Here's the vice president on that.
Former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn has filed with the Department of Justice as a foreign agent for making more than $500,000 as a lobbyist, essentially, for Turkey. Your reaction to that, considering that, doesn't that mean, Mr. Vice President, that even if he didn't lie to you about what the Russian ambassador said or didn't say, that you would have had to fire him anyway?
Well, let me say, hearing that story today was the first I heard of it. And
I fully support the decision that President Trump made to ask for General Flynn's resignation.
You're disappointed by the story?
The first I heard of it, and I think it is an affirmation of the president's decision to ask General Flynn to resign.
Meanwhile, Spicy Spicerman, Sean Spicer, in his press briefing yesterday, was asked about the wiretapping. Remember last Saturday? It seems like it was a year ago. It was only last Saturday when President Trump said President Obama wiretapped him at the Trump Tower and demanded an investigation. Ooh, be careful what you wish for. Here's a very firm answer from Sean Spicer.
I'm not aware of it, but that's my point, is that we're not aware of anything, and that's why...
You've been told by the Justice Department that there is no investigation.
No.
So there might be one. You just don't know.
No, I said, you're right. I said I'm not aware, and we're not aware, and that's why we want the House and the Senate to do what the President has asked of them, to look into this, but no, we're not aware.
To discover if there is an investigation.
No. What the assurance I gave you, Margaret, was that I'm not aware, and that is 100% accurate.
So when you said no reason to believe, it was I'm not aware.
That's
if
right.
There's an investigation.
Right. I mean, I don't know that they're not interchangeable. I'm not aware. I don't believe. Look up in a thesaurus, find some other ways. But I don't know that there's a distinction there that's noteworthy. But we're not aware. I don't believe that exists. And that's what someone's asking me if I'm made aware of something, and the answer is no, then the answer is no.
But the question was whether he was the target of a counterattack.
Right, and the answer is we're not aware. I don't know how much clearer we can be on this.
So it's just the White House is not aware if the president is the target of a counterintelligence probe.
Correct. I'm not sure what we're dancing around the same question.
Well, because I think yesterday when you came out and corrected and clarified, people took that as a definitive answer that in fact that was.
No, it means we're not aware. I don't just. That should be the definitive answer.
10 not awares. 10.
Do you think his neck hurts?
10. 10 not awares. 10.
What was that?
10 not awares. He's so not aware his head could be completely empty. He just needed to go Colonel Schultz from the old Hogan's Heroes. I know nothing!
I'm sorry, isn't he the person who's supposed to clarify
all of this? He's the guy supposed to know stuff. And he's not aware. Let me take you for dining and dancing pleasure to the congressional debate yesterday on the Trump care, the Ryan care, the Your Name Here care. This is Missouri Congressman Jason Smith. Just roll the tape.
You know, there's a lot of taxes out there, but you could tax a lot of different items if you want to stop behavior. You know, I love ice cream. Ice cream is probably not the most healthy thing to eat. Why is there not a tax on that? You know what? If you look at the number one cause of skin cancer, it's not tanning beds. Do a Google search. It's the sun. So I noticed the people over here haven't found too many taxes that they dislike. So why have they not proposed a tax on the sun?
It goes on from there. If you want to search the video, it's Jason Smith. There is a point where he argues with a Democratic congressman who I swear is one of the Muppet guys from the balcony.
Waldorf.
Yeah, it's either Waldorf or the other guy, or Statler.
So can I just ask one thing?
Yeah.
Would we be taxed for using the sun, or would the sun be taxed for the service it provides for us?
I love the idea of Congress trying to get money from the sun. Yeah, that's tremendous. A couple of minutes before 10, we'll come back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.